Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. It is now the business end of the season, so why not get yourself some free beers to enjoy the end of the Pro 14. With our friends Beer 52, you can now get 8 craft beers delivered straight to your door. And all you have to do is pay $5.95 for postage and packaging. That's 8 free beers, a Ferment magazine, which talks about everything in craft brewing, and a snack. Get yourself onto beer52.com/thistle. That's beer52.com/thistle. $5.95 postage and packaging, and you'll get 8 craft beers delivered straight to your door. Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, coming at you for another breakfast show special ahead of a big weekend of Pro 14 rugby. Thank you very much for joining us. I am David, and to my left, Alan, looking very awake. How are you, bud?
I'm struggling, not going to lie to you.
The breakfast specials are tough, aren't they?
Yeah. I also had Luna just like batting me in the face at like 5 a.m. this morning.
Who's Luna?
My cat.
Alan Jacobson.
Alan Jacobson, the cat.
Your other cat.
Mother cat.
And there's Matt as well.
All right, how's it going? Wait, it feels like we've been away for ages.
I think it's been two calendar weeks. Yeah.
Two calendar weeks.
It's been tough.
a lot can happen in two calendar weeks.
I was trying to think.
In niche Scottish rugby news.
Exactly.
There actually has been tons of news, to be honest.
To be fair, yeah.
Yeah, so, but you have been keeping up with us on Twitter, so we've been putting it all out there at Thistle Rugby Pod. We put up a very successful Chris Dean meme on Instagram earlier this week. That's
a specific Chris Dean meme before we launched that yesterday?
It could be the first
it
ever.
It could be a world first.
I mean, for our specific audience of one, Chris Dean, he liked it and followed us. So look, that's a success for us. So that's over on Instagram at Thistle Rugby Pod. The mailbag has, everyone's been having a wee bit of time off. The mailbag's been tired. That's thethistlerugby@gmail.com. So get in there if you've got any thoughts. On iTunes, you can leave us a review. Please do. How about this one from Waggle Your Wallies? He calls us Bias Burgers. These guys have a massive bias against Glasgow players until they become former Glasgow players. I just don't think that's true.
Have we not been accused of pro-Glasgow bias before as well?
Yeah, I think... essentially, we're just probably slightly pro whatever team's doing better at the time.
I just think it's more interesting to talk about the teams that are doing well.
Yes. I mean...
I also can't really think of an ex-Glasgow player who we used to bag and really like now.
Henry Purgos?
I don't think we ever really bagged him.
I think we probably bagged him.
We might do some bagging. We might do some bagging of him later on when we talk about his recent performances.
It's not like we're like, oh my God, Purgos is so good. Why did Glasgow let him go? We've always been like, he's fine.
Yeah, that's fair. You know? No, I mean, I think it's a completely ridiculous statement.
waggle your wallies.
Give us five stars. Give us bloody one star. Who do you think he is?
One star.
So really, I feel like that's not a one star reason either. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, give it a two or a three.
Yeah, yeah.
But oh, yeah. Well.
Old Wally.
Well, I think we'll be okay.
Old Wally. Well, thank you very much. Please do get on there and leave us a review. It helps us out. Right, let's skip through the news. There's been quite a lot going on since we last talked about you, including lots of prop recruitment. Glasgow have signed two new props and re-signed Adam Nicol. So they're being joined by Charlie Capps, who's joining from the nursery down in Stade Niçoise. Scots qualified, England under 18. And Scotland under 20s cap, who's been at Wasps, lad called George Thornton. Lads, lots of prop news.
I think on the Stade Niçoise thing, you're just like, hopefully you'll be okay.
I mean, who knows?
I generally don't think Stade Niçoise play at a better standard than like the Ayr Heriots game on the weekend.
It is professional though, right?
Oh, I don't think Federal 1 is all professional.
Oh, right.
There's four separate
leagues. Oh, yeah, because it's Pro D2.
Pro D2, and then there's four separate leagues in
within
Federal
1, yeah.
Hmm.
So...
Yeah, I doubt he would come across and play for Ayr Heriots and be, like, a real standout player.
Yes.
So I think that's fair.
I was reading a little bit about him. He was in England under-18s, and then he was in the England under-20s squad for the 2016 World Cup, but got injured, so missed out on that. Then he was at Leeds Carnegie for a little bit. Then he went down to Stade Niçoise.
Yeah.
And he was announced by Scottish Rugby that he was being sent to Stade Niçoise. So
oh, really?
Obviously had an eye on him. Yeah, it came up on Google, but it no longer exists on the new website. Did you know the Scottish Rugby have got a new website?
Yeah, I did.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the Scotsman were reporting on it recently.
I can't believe the Scotsman wrote a story about the SRU having a new website.
What has happened to that newspaper?
It was unbelievable. But anyway, lots of new props. Presumably just to give a little bit more depth. Batty's obviously leaving to Edinburgh, but just in a World Cup here, having depth around there.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I don't think that many of the Glasgow props are probably going to go to the World Cup.
Well, there is chat that... was some chat that Gordy Reid's going to come back to Glasgow as well.
Yeah.
So if you do bring him back, there's a chance he's in the World Cup squad. You lose him right away.
I'd heard about Gordy Reid a wee while ago. His wife's moved. She moved back to Glasgow. She only stayed in London for about 3 months.
Yeah, so wouldn't be that big a surprise.
But yeah, I mean, apart from what, Xander Ferguson?
Darcy Ray.
Darcy Ray, maybe on the fringes.
But
he's not really good
point. It's one of those positions where there's almost certainly going to be an injury where people might get... They're going to be on call quite a lot.
I think as well that some of those guys, like Thornton in particular, being signed for the future.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's played under 20s. Always looked quite good for them. And, you know, he doesn't need to play right away, but it's good to have a young Scottish prop.
Absolutely. And more news out of Glasgow. Good news for Glasgow fans. Dave Rennie has extended his contract by a year to put to bed some rumours that he was maybe heading off to join Scott Johnson in Australia, but at least that will now be put off until after the World Cup. Good news, lads, yes?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if anything, it puts the SRU in a better negotiating position, so when Australia do come calling.
Such a commercial answer.
Yeah, exactly. They get
like
more
that.
Compensation.
I
get
like
more
that
compensation.
Angle.
Hey, you're going to get tapped out by Mark Dodson with that sort of attitude.
Well, what do you think I've been doing for the last 3 years in this podcast? No, I think it's really good. I think, obviously, there was speculation he was going to leave. I just think it's quite nice to see that clearly he's sort of bought into Glasgow, bought into the city and everything, and clearly believes that there's more to be done with the side. And I'm sure he thinks he wants to win some silverware before he goes on to his next gig.
Bit of an annoying move from Scott Johnson. Just piles off to Australia and then tries to tap up the Glasgow coach.
Yes.
On the assumption that it's true.
Scott Johnson, a man of honour.
Yes. But I do think that's something that Dave Rennie seems to have really bought into, you know, Scotland and Glasgow specifically. I know he seems to have struggled in those big games, but he clearly does have a very strong desire to sort of win silverware with that group of players. It just, you kind of feel like that team just needs a bit more investment.
Yeah, he came across really genuinely on the Glasgow podcast. They were interviewing him about it this week, talking about how him and his wife like really love Scotland and like they've really sort of gotten into living in Glasgow. So
Good on him.
Good to have him. And because of that, well, related to that, Mike Blair has now, he's now going full-time with Scotland. And Dave Rennie is now just going to do Mike Blair's job as well as being head coach.
Does
not getting in someone new.
Think that Dave Rennie thinks Mike Blair was quite useless. He's just like, I actually don't need to replace you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to just do what you were doing, but as part
you,
of my full-time job.
You were
job.
An SRU appointment. Yeah. But that means because Humphreys is going to Wales as well.
Humphreys is going to Wales.
He's going to need to get someone in.
Maybe Dave Rennie just thinks they're all shit. He's like, I'm going to just deal with this all yeah. right?
Just getting some, like, open up his little contact book, get some sort of, like, Manawatu coach in who's yeah. unbelievable.
Yeah, it's going to be like a county's Manukau.
Yeah.
Like, backs coach. Coach yeah. coming yeah. in at some point.
Absolutely. And down the other end of the M8, Edinburgh announced 7 players will be leaving at the end of the year. Some known about, some not. So, Ross Ford, Tom Brown, Nathan Fowles, Sean Kennedy, Alan Dell, Luke Hamilton, and don't know his first name, but Nayolo, the Fijian back row.
Siniki or something.
Yeah.
Was that just a guess? Was that just a
no,
sort of
it,
Fijian
it,
guess?
It is along those lines.
What do you think of those? I think most of them we already knew about. I suppose
Nalolo
Senatiki.
Close. So what? Dell, Nayolo, and Fowles were all known about already.
Yes.
Fowles we knew was going to Ealing.
Yes. Yep.
Dell's London Irish. I don't think we knew about. I'm not entirely sure I knew he was an Edinburgh player, to be perfectly honest. He's played 3 times. He's a classic sort of like yeah. Fijian that could have been good.
But then doesn't seem to have played any like Prem rugby that I can...
I think he played a bit for Baramir. I think yeah. that was the pro team. Prem team.
He's Sean Kennedy's tweet.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was quite funny.
I thought it was quite funny. Anyone need a scrum half? Question mark.
I thought it was tongue in cheek. Like, I didn't have a problem with it. You had a problem with it though, didn't you? Ooh, yeah. Quite punchy. Ooh.
I never said I had a problem. I said that it was a potentially quite punchy tweet to put out post.
To be fair, he needs a gig.
Yeah.
You might as well get as much PR as possible.
Yeah.
And if yeah.
you know what? Maybe some lad from like Darlington's like, ah, I like this guy.
A championship rugby.
But he's been playing for the 7 squad, so I wonder if he'll get given a.
Well, I wonder whether yeah him and or Tom Brown.
Yeah.
End up going into the Scotland 7 squad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were both in Hong Kong, weren't they?
Yeah.
And which
yeah.
means they're both off to Singapore as well, because they're not changing that.
Yeah, unchanged squad.
40? Do you reckon he's got a year in him somewhere else? Think someone will pick up Ross Ford?
No.
Like, well, I mean, he's on a lot of money, isn't he?
I mean, yeah, he'd have to take a significant pay cut.
And he's going to go and give back.
I imagine if you really, like, if you had an agent that really went out and sold hard, there is a French club somewhere that's willing to pay like 6 figures.
Like Breve.
Yeah.
100 and however many caps for Scotland. 1 British Lions appearance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Experienced.
1 appearance. He's actually looking 1 appearance on Scots porridge oats.
Yeah, I love that.
That's got to be, I mean, the royalties on that.
I think he's done like the Scottish beef advert back in the day
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Mate, the man's made
to be fair, this season, he's actually looked far better than he has in like the last few seasons.
I think I would change the language there to say in glimpses he's looked far
well he's only
better.
Played in glimpses to be fair
yeah. But I thought there was rumors that he was going to be like strength and conditioning
I think
coach.
In interviews about him coming to the end of his career he said I'd like to get into strength and conditioning.
He is an athlete
because that is effectively what he is, like a really great athlete.
I saw somewhere that someone asked him what he would be doing if it wasn't rugby, and it was like bodybuilding.
Oh my word.
I remember seeing him once in the queue for Garibaldi's in Edinburgh and couldn't believe how big he was. Like, he's so, so big.
So thick?
Yeah. And Garibaldi's is a small place as well. Like, he's going to take, he's taking up like three people's room on the dance floor.
And what? And if you and him are on the dance floor?
Yeah exactly. No one else is getting in.
Me and Ross Ford on the pole.
Yeah.
Sticking with Edinburgh, bad news. Minnie Murrayfield's been delayed, so going to get a chance to keep playing at sold out BT Murrayfield next year in the Pro 14.
I've got a theory.
Go for it. I want to hear this.
So obviously the stuff with Raeburn Place, the legal issues are still up in the air. But from what I can gather, Ackies have just been like, fuck all you guys. We're just going to start doing this work. Because Lidl and Marks and Spencer, who have already booked out lots of like, we want our Stockbridge like space. Yeah. So they've obviously, I reckon Edinburgh have already seen that they've just started going because they've been waiting for like 8 years. And I reckon that's what's taken so long. So maybe they're like, let's just give it like 12 months, see if Aki's will just build a stadium for us.
Well, and then we don't have to build one.
And then we don't have to build Mini Murrayfield.
Hmm.
If Aki's build like, I can't remember what it is, but say you could fit even like 6,000 or 7,000 people in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
In a
for
probably
sure.
better location for Edinburgh Rugby as well.
Yeah.
I like the theory.
It's a great theory. Yeah. I think it's just Edinburgh City Council being either slow
more likely.
Or incompetent or just difficult.
I mean, that is a very plausible explanation for what's going on.
I think we all saw it coming as well. The fact that there'd been like no news announcement in a long time. So yeah. Like, oh, what are they doing with that whole development? And then it's fallen afoul of plan.
Well, we will keep an eye on that. If you've got any inside gossip on Rayburn Place,
you work for the council. You want to come in anonymously? Then you know.
I wonder if we've got anyone from the Edinburgh City Council Planning Department listening. Hopefully,
anyone from the SOU, Edinburgh Council Planning Department, Edinburgh Accies, or the Grange, just file into the DMs. Yeah.
Or DMs. Just anyone with a really outlandish theory.
Yes.
Because we will read it out.
Sources say.
Yeah, exactly.
And then finally,
Miss Luke Hamilton and the rumours of him going to Glasgow.
Yes. Well, I didn't miss him in my reading out.
You didn't miss him in the reading out?
We just didn't talk about him, yeah.
We just didn't talk about him.
He's sort of like, I've always thought he was okay for Edinburgh. He's never been like, he never let them down or anything like that.
I think there's just so many back rows there now. Yeah. And like, he will, if he wants to play for Scotland, he will be looking for first team action, and he's not going to get it with that Edinburgh team.
And I think it was Rob Robertson at the Mail confirmed that he had turned down a contract extension, so he was offered something by Edinburgh. So he's obviously off somewhere else.
Yeah.
Would he do well at Glasgow? Glasgow sort of player Glasgow need?
I guess you said it would seem weird that he would go to Glasgow after turning down a contract, because you imagine that would be just a constant conversation with the SOU. Essentially, it's the same people giving the contracts,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Maybe London Irish. That's the only other place I'd heard.
Wouldn't be surprised if he went somewhere like that.
London Irish coming up into the Prem.
Yeah.
Luke to be building something as well, or at least giving it a go.
Might ring fence it as well. Might back himself to start there.
I'd back him for Glasgow, though.
Ahead of
Ryan Wilson?
That's not going to happen, though, is it?
Or at least, you know, getting a lot of game time at Glasgow.
I think he would get a lot more game time, to be fair.
Yeah.
I wonder if, as you say, the way the negotiations will work, if that'll happen.
Yeah. End up in a back row with Sean O'Brien at London Irish. It's not too bad.
Not too bad. I'm Blair Cowan.
I'm Blair Cowan.
Lovely stuff. And finally, we touched on it very briefly there, the Sevens team, they won the Challenge Trophy at the Hong Kong Sevens. Is that the second tier or the third tier?
Beat Japan in the final.
Came back very well from behind in the final, didn't they?
I mean, to be fair, they started really badly.
Yeah. That's a classic Scottish trait these days.
Yeah.
And the women made the final of the qualifier only to lose to Brazil in the final of that. And that would have seen them gain a place on the World Cup or on the Seven Series?
Don't know.
Let's go with a yes.
Yeah.
It was a qualifier. It's called the qualifier series. Yeah, so yeah. I think it's to get them onto the tour. Or wherever the women play tournaments alongside.
I was following it on Twitter and didn't realize it was only the qualifiers. I was getting uber excited when it's like they've reached the final, and then it was against Brazil, and I was like,
I think it's good.
But no, I'm not taking away their achievement.
It's a very decent shift, and I think a lot of those players, pretty much all of them, were involved in the Six Nations, so they've come straight off the back of that.
Yeah,
they don't really play much sevens. Like, sort of professionally, and to go and
do
that.
No, it's good. It seems like it's been... It's just a kind of good way to... Obviously, losing the final is a shame, but, you know, I think that the women's season has shown a lot of, like, positive signs this year, and it's a nice way to sort of to finish it. It's also the Melrose Sevens this weekend.
Yes, it is.
Which I think is on BBC Scotland.
Yes, it is.
So, from 1 o'clock.
Yeah, they do usually show it,
So I think they start showing it from the second round. No pro teams again, which is good. University sides in the first draw, which is interesting. St Andrews and Edinburgh Uni. And then you've sort of got like the guest teams like British Army, Tiger Rugby USA, who I think Perry Baker played for back in the day.
Just come across looking to get some investment, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's part of the Old Glory deal. Stellenbosch, London Scottish, amongst sort of, you know, your Melroses. And
I imagine Stellenbosch will probably win.
Probably. You know, it depends. Like, what sort of team Melrose get out, I think. Because they've had a lot of injuries. And they, if they can get a fit team, like, they always raise their game for that tournament.
Yeah.
And, you know, even, like, someone like Watson's have been really good in the sevens in the last few years. Durham Uni have got a... in the second round straight
Durham
away.
Durham Uni
quite
could
interesting.
Be really good.
Yeah, they could be good. They're playing Melrose in the first game.
Having played Durham Uni and being killed by Durham Uni.
That was only the second 15 as well.
Yeah. And then Prem Final.
Yep.
This week.
The rerun.
No, last week. Yeah, last week. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. And then the Prem Cup next week.
Next week.
By all accounts, it was an absolutely incredible match.
Yeah.
And it sort of went down almost to the wire in the end, really. And I think Ayr were probably slight favourites.
Yes.
But I think that Heriot's team...
Especially Millbrae.
Yeah, exactly. I think that Heriot's team this season has just been like building so well.
Yeah.
And it's a lot better than people think they are. I think people who'd be watching that would think, like, why do we need Super 6? This is really good.
Yeah. And I think... was it Kyle Rowe who scored the two tries? A few people thinking that he's going to...
Yeah, he looks handy.
...get called up, especially with Glasgow having wingers, but probably not having a real strength and depth in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys like Robbie Nairn who've sort of come in and out, but have picked up loads of injuries and stuff like that.
Yeah. But yeah, so rematch in a week and a half's time.
Yeah, I know, it's quite weird. Yeah. Is it back at Millbury again?
No, Murrayfield.
Oh, shit.
It's now 2-1 to Ayr.
2-1 to Ayr.
Yeah. 2-1 to Ayr for going down to the death. Should we talk a little bit about Old Glory? It feels like old news, but...
Nah, let's do it.
Should we talk about Old Glory?
Oh, yeah.
Did you listen to the Dom McKay podcast about it on the Scottish Rugby one?
I did.
Do you know why we're doing it yet?
I don't think there was a clear rationale laid out there. It feels like a bit of a punt, which...
Yeah.
I don't think it is, but when, in the context of the money that is involved and the risk, it kind of feels like, a bit of an odd gamble to take.
Yeah, I think I've seen a number of like rationale for why we're doing it. Some obviously being to sort of send out Scottish players for sort of development, or like coaches and players for development opportunities. Some have been around, you know, building Scottish rugby's brand in the US, which I just like. Completely do not buy into whatsoever. And then the other one has been around kind of the direct financial opportunity, so
yeah,
getting in on the obviously they've had conversations with these guys in the US for a while, appears to be specifically around the Pro 14 initially.
Yeah,
well, yeah, well, Dom McKay sits on the board of Pro 14, so I reckon he would have met them through that sort of conversation of trying to get an East Coast franchise into the Pro 14.
Yes. And a lot of the rationale seems to be we're getting in on the ground. The US is a big market. If this goes well, we could make a massive upside.
Yeah, it's not that much money in the grand scheme of things, but I want to be correct in the sums, but it's...
There's been a few different numbers getting chucked around.
But I saw 500,000 US over 3 years.
As in 500 per year or over?
No,
total.
So that's small, like 350?
Yeah, 350.
That's not that small.
It's like half a Super 6 season.
That's a lot of money over 3 years. And, you know, I'm 100, sure...
115 a year.
That's loads of money.
Mate, it's a third of a Scott Johnson.
It's a lot of money, but in like a, what, 50 million revenue business?
A 50 million revenue business where arguably there's still a lot of issues below the pro level, which is this is kind of what this is trying to address, I suppose.
And if I were the SRU, I'd be saying, you know, but we have invested there. Look, we have put the money into the Super 6. Now, you might say
enough. Why are you just parroting Don McKay's interview?
I'm not. I'm doing the devil's advocate bit.
No, I know you are.
I've done Super 6 and we continue to invest in grassroots rugby.
So why not invest the additional 115 grand in Super 6? Why put it in Old Glory?
That's the question.
Maybe
Super 6 is more risky than Old Glory.
It can't be, though, because at least the Super 6, they're in control of it and they've got an idea of what the league will look like.
And so
with the MLR, whatever it's called. Is that Major League Rugby?
Yeah,
Major League Rugby.
Christ's sake. like they've tried it two or three times now, and it's died on its arse because of
lack of interest.
You know, lack of interest, lack of commercial backing, all these sort of things. So I just feel like the risk there is far greater. You could arguably spend all that money and get pretty much zero benefit.
Yes.
Whereas I think with the Super 6, you know, the same thing could happen, but it's, you think that the skew is far more to the upside.
Well, I think both of them have a financial risk, but Super 6 has a much greater operational upside.
Exactly.
In yeah. terms of, if Super 6 goes well, it could go badly, but if it goes well, that has a massive benefit to Scottish rugby as a whole. Whereas my issue with All Glory is there is a financial risk there, but I don't really see there being much of an operational upside for Scottish rugby.
So what happens? You get, it goes on for a year, maybe two. You send someone like George Thornton there. He plays yeah. like 20 games of a fine standard, but not like massively better than...
Super I mean, six.
No, not massive, but you know, it's going to be nowhere near the English Championship, for example.
Yes.
So I kind of think.
But then I also don't know why you need to make the investment to even have that partnership.
Yeah.
Like, it feels a bit weird. Like, I imagine you could find a US club who would yeah. do a partnership with Scottish rugby.
Exactly. You say
for a feeder, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you say it's just like loan the players over and say, don't worry about wages or anything. We'll take care of that. But here's yeah. some good young players. You can have.
Yeah. I think the bit that in the podcast, there was two bits that I found really weird. The first bit, Don McKay was talking about how it was great to have really patriotic American owners, which yeah. I was like, I have no idea what that means or why that's good. And the second bit was he kept referring to it, you know, it's a startup. And I was like, yeah, I get it's a startup, but why is Scottish Rugby is like a venture capital fund or something like that. Why are you putting money into a startup business?
Yes.
Because the way he was talking about it was very much on that business side as opposed to, you know, we're going to take five lads from our under-18s every year, we're going to start a new East Coast American scholarship, and we're going to send them there. At least then, I would have understood that, you know, it's a development opportunity, like the McPhail scholarship, like the other things yeah. they've got with Stanley Swaz, London Scottish, whatever. I mean,
even the, you know, the sum of money is kind of irrelevant in the sense that
yeah.
if it was 50 grand a year, you'd be like, well, why don't you spend that 50 grand on areas in Scotland where rugby's not popular, but you think there's a big catchment area.
Yeah.
Like Glasgow, for example, like the biggest city, right? Spend it in the east end of Glasgow where rugby's not as popular as the west end. Like,
yeah.
I just think, you know, that sends a far better message out, and, you know, the potential to get a return or, you know, some improvement from that is far higher.
So this is why I think potentially there could be a long-term move, which is, that could be the US Pro 14, a Pro 14 team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you believe...
I think that's in their thinking.
If you believe that at some point in the future, an East Coast US team, because it's always going to probably be East
yeah,
Coast,
yeah.
is going to join the Pro 14, then...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
He's giving yourself exposure to that. I can understand the strategic rationale for wanting to be involved in that potential US franchise, because it gives us sort of access to that third pro team. So maybe there's sort of a couple of like tactical benefits at the start, but actually there's a more like long-term strategic aim of getting that team into pro rugby. Which I could see that.
I suppose that makes a little bit of sense.
I guess it then depends.
Like, he did pour a little bit of cold water on that when he was talking about it, but
yes,
you would. At this stage, exactly, you would, yeah. Because if you say that's what we're thinking and it doesn't happen because there's huge risks in between, you end up, it's another massively failed project. But tell you what, I might help them out. Their stash is quite nice.
Is it really?
Yeah, if you look at the old Glory shop, it's quite nice.
I don't think they had a website.
2020.
Yeah, under-20s are playing them in May this year on their way to the
Argentina
for the World Cup.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is they won't be joining Major League Rugby till 2020.
Yeah, correct.
What do they do till then?
But who are these lads that are playing like May 2019? Like
they've got up until 2 weeks ago they had 3 players signed professionally.
Yeah.
But what, and then they had a combine. You had paid $20 and you went and did a training day. And then honestly, that's, I was looking at it, I was like, I'm going to go for it.
You're going to go to DC?
I'm going to go for the Old Glory.
To be fair, the stash is quite good. It's Adidas.
Yeah, the stash is really nice. That's why I think we can all get behind Old Glory.
How have Old Glory got Adidas and we got Macron?
I don't know.
Strategic partnership.
But it's not their own store. It's the worldrugbyshop.com. You think they've paid Adidas. You know, you can like pay.
Yeah, they've got
50.
It's like a sevens team.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, 100%. Adidas aren't sponsoring Old Glory.
Yeah, they are.
Mate, yeah, they are. Look, they've got the DC Rugby canvas tote with Adidas.
That would be great for your shopping, actually. It would be really nice.
But I don't know. They're not going to have signed players from now to play one game against Scotland under-20s in May 2019 to then start the season.
It'll be like a US select under Old Glory gear. But
again, in defense of Old Glory, they're playing 4 matches this season.
Can you stop loving Old Glory?
No.
I would like to work for Old Glory. I'm currently working on that. It's all right. They are playing Shannon RFC.
Cool.
Scotland under-20. USA Rugby South. And the Ontario Blues.
So the website's
good. That's your 4 fixtures.
It's got a sponsor section, and it just has a form for becoming a sponsor. It doesn't have a list of any sponsors.
There is another link. One of Glasgow's sponsors, Leidos, who are on the Glasgow shirt sleeve, they're the principal sponsor of Old Glory. So there you go. Scottish Rugby are making it all happen.
There you go. It's making it rain globally.
I think it is a wealthy guy behind Old Glory.
I guess that is one of the additional points, is the guy who's running it does appear to be at least a very successful businessman and smart
guy. Did he not have something to do, or does not one of them have something to do with Major League Soccer and getting that off the ground?
Potentially.
Which has become successful.
I thought one of them had like a used car sales dealership.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm just trying to figure out like how big it is and how much money he actually has.
Just like one lad who's got like Arnold Clark, but in DC.
Yeah.
I'm looking
forward. He's got one franchise of Arnold Clark.
Peter Vardy, what's up?
I'm looking forward to the time when like MLR just becomes the place where like really massive old pros go in for like one season and do nothing.
Yeah.
Well, some of them have.
Folding. Like when Frank Lampard went to like New York City, Beckham to LA Galaxy and stuff like that.
We got Foden. Don Waldock was out there for a little bit as well.
Pedri Vandenberg was playing out there.
Yes, but then
Miliaina played him. It's like, am I getting any of those wages?
Ross Ford's going. Oh, no. He's going.
Ross Ford is going to Old Glory.
He's going to be the captain of Old Glory DC. I love that. I'd love to see it. Gosh. Should we leave Old Glory where we are?
Yeah,
I think it's going to be an amazingly interesting one to see how it goes. But let's talk about the weekend coming up in Pro 14. And also, within that conversation, we can cover off last weekend's results and any sort of frustrations that we have lingering over from Europe. But the big one, Edinburgh, Friday night against Ulster. Absolutely massive for their conference positioning. Lads, what do you make of it?
I mean, I think that Edinburgh should feel pretty confident going into that match. The fact that I thought Ulster would be a bit better against Glasgow. Obviously, Glasgow played extremely well. But I think coming off the back of that Scarlets win as well would give them a lot of confidence. I'm not sure about Ulster's position in the league.
Second.
So they're not... Oh, but they're in the same conference, aren't
they? Ulster on 54, Treviso on 52, Edinburgh on 51, and Scarlets on 45.
Mm. So you're going to say Scarlets kind of out of it now?
Most likely, yes.
Yeah. I think Edinburgh should win that match.
I think at home at Murrayfield on a Friday night, when it's all on the line like this, and Edinburgh don't have, I shouldn't have thought, too many injury issues.
No.
Got a decent squad. I know that Will Addison went down for Ulster last weekend. There's question marks over Ian Henderson and whether he's going to be available for Ulster this weekend.
I just don't think Ulster looked that good.
Apart from when they nearly beat Leinster.
Was meaning the Glasgow match.
Yes, but...
Yeah. I think that's just such a different match, though. Like, you know, it's an All-Ireland derby in the Heineken Cup quarterfinal versus, like, Edinburgh.
It was at the Aviva.
Versus massive. Edinburgh at, like, a pretty empty Murrayfield.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've still got a lot to play for, but I think Edinburgh should be favourites going into that.
Quite tasty, though. The back room derby. Dan McFarlane going over there. Johnny Petrie going over to Ulster to turn their backs on Edinburgh.
Roddy Grant. Yeah.
There's Ulster.
John Petrie's like, Cockerill's like, yeah, you know, we got to play the kids this weekend. He was like, can't put out the big names.
Do you think that's the team talk from Barclay?
Yeah.
He's like, these bastards have stolen Johnny Petrie.
Yeah.
How dare they?
They've taken our senior execs.
Yeah. How dare
We've
they?
We've now gone interim MD because of these bastards.
When is this going to stop? Exactly. Only we can stop the rot.
They've crossed the line.
Yeah.
Exactly. I suppose the one disappointing thing, Edinburgh obviously coming back to beat Scarlets away from home was amazing last weekend. Treviso getting a draw against Leinster was a little bit frustrating.
They're actually not called Treviso anymore. They're just called Benetton.
Yeah. Sorry to all of our Benetton listeners. Exactly.
What? When did that happen?
I don't know, but it's happened apparently.
Oh.
It's a big one. Benetton are playing Munster this week.
At Treviso.
Let
me get this right.
Which is a pretty big game as well. I suppose it matters.
BBC ain't got the message. They still call them Benetton Treviso.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Benetton
Treviso.
Well, they've updated updated scores and fixtures.
This is great podcast content.
For everyone who can't see your two laptops.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, I know. And Munster, you know... Well,
that Treviso-Munster game is interesting because... Obviously, from an Edinburgh perspective, we want Munster to go over there and beat Benetton. But ultimately, I want Glasgow to be in a place where they've won that group going into the last game of the
Getting
season.
Home semi.
Because then they don't need to beat Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, you know, it's still between Glasgow and Munster, sort of 3 points between them. If Glasgow comes second in that group, you have to play... You'll have to play Leinster away to get to the Pro 14 final.
Yeah, which ain't going to happen.
Or if you win that group, you'll probably have to play one of Ulster, Treviso or Edinburgh to get to the Pro 14 final.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's right.
I kind of tuned out. I'll take your word for it. I think that's probably
sounds about
fine.
Right.
I think it's all a bit... At least it's keeping it a bit interesting.
Yeah. Do you remember every game's quite important.
Do you remember last year when like Glasgow were like 20 points ahead and we were just like, you know, whatever, like who cares?
Yeah.
And actually that probably contributed to them performing so badly in the semi-final.
Because then they had a big break as well, remember?
Yeah.
Because you have the last game.
Well, that's the thing. If you go straight into the semi,
And you have a break because of the Champions Cup as well.
Yes.
I think it's quite interesting, like, it's massive for Edinburgh, not just in like the context of this season, but next as well. I mean, if they lose this game, they could end up not involved in, you know, Europe, at the top level of Europe next year.
They'll probably at least have a playoff to get
Well,
to
yeah,
Europe.
Remember there's a playoff.
Oh, yes, of course. So there's the 7th, 8th place playoff.
So the most likely player are the Blues or Ospreys.
Yeah. Which
if you come fourth.
You'd like to think they'd win that, but
I take away my point then. it's not that big a game. Don't care.
No, of course it is. Look, you don't want to play in that playoff.
No, if you can avoid it.
But I think Edinburgh will have too much for this Ulster team.
This is the second last match of the season, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it's just Edinburgh Glasgow.
If Edinburgh win this match and lose to Glasgow, can they still get through?
Yes.
Depends on the results. We could really do with Munster seeing off Benetton and or Benetton Treviso.
That would be good
this weekend.
Yes,
that'll be Glasgow Edinburgh could be absolutely awesome. Like in terms of what's on the line,
it's gonna be so feisty.
Probably a bad game, but
oh no, it'd be terrible. But a lot up in the air. I might go to that. It's and then yeah, so what in Glasgow have who they got? Leinster at home.
Leinster away.
Which so I think probably last week falls into one of the better performances of the year. Top three performances of the year. I mean, yeah, Ulster definitely. At home, bonus point win, you know.
And it was, I think a lot of people point to that Scarlets game, but I think there were a lot of players missing because of Six Nations.
Yes.
Whereas this was, you know, both teams needing to win, full strength, sides out, pretty much, and Glasgow did the business.
It's just a bit frustrating because against, you know, clearly Rennie had kind of come at that team quite hard and like, the post-match press conferences.
Yeah, he said he poked a few guys in the chest in the week.
But it's just frustrating because actually, in terms of defence in that game against Ulster, Glasgow were absolutely savage.
Yeah.
Like, Ulster weren't really getting anything. People like Gray and Cummings, like, really, really stepping up and, like, dominating. And you're just like, the hell happened the week before? Like, I appreciate Saracens are a
Yeah, it's very different
Ulster.
Propositions, but I know what you mean.
It is frustrating, particularly when you see Johnny Gray putting in a shift like that, and you're just like, where has that been?
Yeah.
Where's that been in a Scotland shirt? Where's that been in a Glasgow shirt?
And I think with Glasgow, like, you know, the attack's going to be thereabouts every week because they've got such good players and they're very confident with the ball in hand. So it's just sort of getting the other building blocks in place that they can't seem to do consistently.
Building blocks like a All Blacks 10.
Like Aaron Cruden, as is the rumour.
Again, I would not be anti Aaron Cruden joining. I just feel like there is bigger needs at Glasgow.
The amount of money you're spending on him could... I mean, I reckon, though, like, a big ball-carrying eight is probably one of the, like, hardest players to get in the market at the moment.
Yes.
They're really, really valuable.
Yeah.
Cruden's market value probably isn't like as much as it used to be.
No.
But I agree that like in terms of what that team needs, it's not a standoff.
Yes. You want like big ball carrying number eight, someone like I don't know, who's that horrible South African second row?
Any of them.
Any of them.
Yeah.
Yes. Like slot
a
them,
South African.
Slot both them
comes to Scotland.
Lud Dieger and Michael Leach are just like, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Glasgow's second row. They're all quite big, but they're all quite soft. If you look at like Gray, Cummings, Harley. Swinnow. Well, Harley's not soft, but he's just not that good. But do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. There
isn't like a hard-nosed, like really horrible bastard in that Glasgow pack. Apart from Fraser Brown, when he's in that sort of snarling form.
Arguably Kebble.
The thing is, I think Kebble's really good. I think he's a bit soft.
He is and he isn't. You can't be that soft if you're like taking people down in the scrum.
No, I know. Maybe it's sort of...
Can you imagine being in a scrum?
Maybe it's just that he looks like a nice guy.
I think it actually is more his like personality and demeanor, like almost makes him seem like this like friendly, nice guy.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
Although, because Leinster will have Champions Cup next weekend.
Yes.
And they've...
They're about 100 points ahead.
Yeah, so they've got home. They've got home semi.
They've got first place.
I think it'll be Leinster B. But Leinster B is still a very decent side.
Yes.
As was shown against Edinburgh the other week, when it was almost Leinster C.
That was almost
and
Leinster
they actually
C,
like looked for the first 20, 30 minutes as if they were going to win that match.
Leinster under 12s go out against Glasgow.
Yeah.
But I'm relatively confident that Glasgow are going to take Leinster. You know, Benetton went out there and got a draw last week.
Yeah,
that's true.
Leinster have got it sewn up.
They've got
Toulouse next weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't think this is a priority for them in the slightest.
Be interesting to see the selections should come out tomorrow.
Yes.
Glasgow Lens will be tomorrow. Edinburgh's team will come out at lunchtime today. Thursday lunchtime, yeah.
So...
Bit of a prediction on the Glasgow game then? Glasgow win?
Yeah. I'm going to say non-bonus point win by... 6.
It's still a big statement to go to the RDS and pick up a win.
Yeah. No.
But Glasgow should be doing it. And it's if it's for them, it's sort of trying to secure that home semi, isn't it? So
yes,
on Premier Sports as well.
Yeah,
so Premier Sports one TV, Melrose Seven is the other.
Very decent. Do you know what else is coming? It's completely off topic, but the Under-18s World Cup's being shown on Free Sports on the Premier Sports Free Channel.
The Under-18 or Under-20s?
Under-18s Rugby World Cup starts next week.
It's like that little festival that they have like a weekend, isn't
it? Well, whether it's a festival or a World Cup, Alan, it is on Free Sports.
Is that the European one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, I'm not interested. It's on Free Sports. So there's lots of rugby to watch. That was the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
Cool. That is fair.
Idiots. have you got a quiz, Alan? Or do we need to crack on?
I do have a quiz. One thing I wanted to say about Edinburgh, I can get those on. It feels like Bill Matter dropped off a little bit. Like, I'm saying, he's like been at a high standard, but I don't feel like he's having the same impact as he's been. And maybe it's just you can't consistently stay at that level.
Maybe it depends on the matches he's played as well.
Yeah. I feel like, and I actually think, you know, he is being not marked out of games, but as his stock rises, people are specifically focusing on him more.
I think he suffers slightly from the fact that, like, at a few points this season, he's done these like mad offloads that have been nuts. And actually, like, even in interviews, he's like, "I'm not that much of an offloader. I'm not like a Nakarawa." He is a bit more of like, obviously, he wants to run through holes and through gaps and at arms, but he does actually quite a lot of like heavy carrying for that team.
Like,
it's not like he's just running in. He's not out in the 13 channel.
And he makes like 25 carries a day. That is quite hard to maintain.
I thought against Munster he was good in a match where, you know, those opportunities are going to be less and defences are going to be better.
I wonder if it's maybe that he's now got Barkley and Watson. So that sort of workload's being shared across three very high quality players in the back row now. So there's maybe less of a standout for Mata because the quality around him's gone up.
He also plays every single game.
Well, that's the thing.
He must be knackered.
That was my only concern was, he's played literally, even during the Six Nations, he will play every single game.
Yeah.
And it's just whether, can he keep it going till the end of the season? You know, and he said, you got Bradbury, you got Richie, you got Watson, you got Barkley. There is enough to share there.
But there's not many games now, well, no games really to rotate people.
Yes.
Is the thing.
So,
you know, if Edinburgh have a run, that run,
all being fit, is going to be Barkley, Mata, and Watson.
Yeah. I thought I'd just chuck a rod out, see if I got a
nibble. It was nice to see it.
See if I got a little nibble.
Good point.
Going to do a very, very quick quiz. You got seven players released by Edinburgh. So
I've already named them.
I'm going to let you write them down.
I'm seven up.
Ross Ford, Naolo, Dell, Fowles, Brown, Kennedy and Hamilton.
Yep, correct.
Yeah.
So you didn't write them down, Dave.
Oh, was I meant to write? I've already got them written down, though, so that's fine.
There you go. I want you to to rank them in number of appearances.
Okay.
For Edinburgh.
Starting from the bottom, now we're here.
So I want you to start from the top.
Start from the top. Okay, Ross Ford.
Hanny?
Yeah, I had Ford as well. Tom Brown.
Ross Ford is correct. And then second?
Tom Brown.
Dave?
I would go Brown as well, yeah.
Wait, hold on.
You got to just give me your answer. Okay.
Yeah, I know, but he's just going to copy
mine.
No,
I'm not. I can give you my whole list now if you want. I'm looking at it.
Who have you got third?
I would go Ford, Brown, Kennedy.
So, they're like, you got
Kennedy. I've got Kennedy as well.
You got Kennedy as well. You're both wrong. It's Nathan Fowles.
Fowles?
71 caps.
71 caps.
Who have you got fourth?
Well, my next would have been Nathan Fowles.
Nathan Fowles is third.
So now but I'm saying it would be Kennedy.
So now Kennedy.
Yeah.
Kennedy's fourth with 66. Fifth?
Dell.
Dell, Hamilton, Naolo would be my final three.
Same.
That's correct.
Draw?
Let's call it
actually was a draw.
Yeah.
What three players have had the most tries for Edinburgh?
Out of that bunch?
Yeah.
I think I sort of remember seeing Tom Brown scored 20.
Yeah,
correct.
That sounds like, looking at that list, that must be the most.
You said the top three, though.
Top three.
Okay, so
Fowles.
Well, give me your top three.
I'm going to go Brown,
Fowles, Ford.
Ford. Dell.
Ford.
Dave takes it. Yes. Ford's got 10 tries.
I knew he had. I just thought I'd.
No, you got to mix. You got to mix up. Yeah. Fowles got
Didn't
6.
Did he score a hat trick not that long ago?
Nah.
Don't make up. Ron. Maybe got a brace this season or something like that.
I don't know.
That Ford scored tries recently.
I don't know about that, man.
He scored against Italy in that summer when.
Anyway,
Finn did that silly offload.
Oh yeah. I don't think we need to go too much into the 10 tries that Ross Ford has scored. I'll take the win though. Very happy with
that. You type in Ross Ford hat trick. It says Scotland 31, Ireland 21.
Henderson hat trick. I think I would remember if Ross Ford has scored a hat trick for Scotland.
I feel like Sean Kennedy has had like 8 seasons with Edinburgh. It's got to be one of the longest.
No, this is Andy Henderson scoring a hat trick for Scotland against Ireland.
Unreal.
Excuse me?
Goofy.
Was that not like pre-World Cup game or something?
It was.
It was when we beat them, yeah.
It was Rob Dewey against O'Driscoll.
Oh, it's a meeting of minds.
Do you not remember, though, there was like that one season when Rob Dewey for Glasgow was like...
No, it was for Edinburgh.
For Edinburgh.
He scored like 15 tries the season.
Like
Player of the Year or something. And then...
Then he went to Ulster.
Yeah.
Then he went to Glasgow.
And then it's all gone wrong.
And then he worked at the Vic in St Andrews.
And he occasionally plays for Madras.
And he plays for Madras.
Really weird.
Very, very weird.
Sean Kennedy, 8 seasons with Edinburgh. You got to think you're getting one Scotland cap. But he hasn't had any.
Has he not?
Has he ever been in the squad?
I think he's been called into...
I think he's been in the squad.
Rogue squads.
But you think if you go in 8 years,
you'd think you'd
Edinburgh.
Get in like a summer touring squad and play against like Canada or something like that.
Grayson Hart's had like your away at Canada true. Cap, and you'd think.
To be fair to Rob Dewey, 16.
How many Edinburgh caps did he have?
Who's Chris Leek?
But Chris Leek.
It was Chris Leck.
Chris Leck.
He is not a Scotland cap. He was English.
Was he?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
8 seasons for how many Edinburgh caps did you say?
66.
That's a bit part showing, isn't it?
And that's including.
He was at Glasgow as well for a bit, remember?
Yes,
Kennedy.
He was.
Like,
I think he had some time at Irish, to be fair, as well.
Him and Toulouse went on loan there.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he gets a gig. Deserves a gig.
Yeah. He'd be good in the sevens, I reckon.
Quick prediction for the games, and then we'll. Off we
Well, we didn't do Edinburgh, did we?
We didn't do an Edinburgh prediction.
We kind of did Glasgow.
Let's finish off with that then, Matt.
Edinburgh, I think, will win by 10.
10 points.
But I don't think we'll get a bonus point.
I'm pretty similar. I'm going to say Edinburgh to win 25-17.
I think it'll be a little bit tighter than that. Edinburgh win by 5. Johnny Petrie will resign from Ulster straight after the game.
Roddy Grant like rips up his contract in front of Johnny Petrie.
Yeah, they all come back to Edinburgh. It's all been a massive scam on Ulster. Get it up, yeah. That's what the lads are going to do. It's going to be good.
I'll tell you what we want to say. Remember Ollie Atkins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the guy who got Tom Young's got his red card for cleaning out.
And he played at Edinburgh.
But he played at Edinburgh. He's just
casually starting for Exeter Chiefs.
In the role for the Chiefs.
It's mad.
He was one of those that people talked about possibly coming into the as like a ball. Yeah. It was around the time the Six Nations squad, or maybe the Autumn squad, people were saying that Ollie Atkins might get a nod.
I think he's played because he came over from Australia and he wasn't that young when he came over. But yeah. Tom Young's just literally comes in off his feet and absolutely
it was horrific.
fucks
him. He's had one cap for Scotland,
2014.
So, you know, he must be eligible.
Scotland, just not a thing anymore?
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about it the other day.
I don't think any of them.
It's not a thing. No,
England still have the Saxons?
No.
Because Ireland just have the Wolfhounds.
The Wolfhounds.
I don't think...
I guess NZ has still got Maori, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
It's a shame, actually, because Scotland used to be all right.
Yeah.
It used to be quite a good little platform.
Scotland A generally had quite a good record against England as well.
Yeah.
I remember Duncan Taylor scored the try to sort of win a game once against down in Newcastle.
And Hogg obviously scored that screamer.
Oh, mate, that was too good.
Last prediction, I think that St Andrews are going to win the Melrose Sevens. So
I don't think they're going to do that.
St Andrews are going to lose to Stellenbosch in the final.
In the final.
Yeah.
To Edinburgh Uni in the final. Oh, that'd be so bad.
I'm going to create like a Will Greenwood video message for the St Andrews.
I'm like, who is this guy?
Can't stand Will Greenwood's social media.
Oh, his video message with Durham Uni is just like too long and too cringe.
Can't stand it.
I know.
Yeah. And on that note.
On that note.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us. We will speak to you soon. Cheers.
Cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.